sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, seeing I do not know a man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, also has also conceived a son in her old age. And this now is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your presence here. Thank you because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we can have fun, we can rejoice in your presence because you are here. And so Lord, as we go into your word, I ask for insight, wisdom, understanding, and revelation. And Father, I ask that you will speak to every single one of us here present, the young and old here today, Father, in this service. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would reach out to every single person here present today, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Father. We are willing, we are able to receive your word. I bless you, Lord. I magnify you. For we pray in Jesus' name and we say, amen. Please be seated. Became the Son of God. The Word that became the Son of God. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, beginning from verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By Him were all things created, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And of course, that refers to Jesus, who was revealed to us. Because the Word, the Bible says, became flesh. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Son of God. And today I want to challenge us as we celebrate Christmas. Through the Christmas story, the encounter that Mary had with the angel Gabriel. To look at what the Word of God represents to us. And so I want us to look today at the purpose of the Word. I want us to look at the power of the Word. I want us to look at the presence of the Word and how to avoid certain pitfalls that can come on account of the Word. Obviously, we may not have time to go into everything in detail, but I'll just drop pointers. So as we celebrate Christmas, not only do we realize that Jesus is the reason for this season, but we need to realize that at Christmas, before the first Christmas, God sent a word through angel Gabriel to a young lady. And she received that word, and that word became a reality. And every time God sends a word to you, that word can become a reality. Can I have an amen? You know, at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave us a word from Jeremiah 32. And we've declared the year of uncommon miracles. And if you're still trusting God for that uncommon miracle, I have good news for you today. Because the God that we serve is the God of the impossibility. The God that we serve is the God of the suddenly. Can I have an amen? So what's the purpose of the word? Why does God send his word? For God to accomplish anything, his word has to be involved. And so when he sends his word, it's to achieve two purposes, at least two things. The first is to accomplish what he pleases. To accomplish what he pleases. And secondly, to achieve God's purpose. In Isaiah chapter 65, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. The Bible says, "For as the rain cometh down," that's the King James Version, "and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it." Now, I know that, you know, a lot of you are young people, so you may not understand, you know, the King James Version. So let's look at verse 11 from the Message translation. Verse 11 from the Message. "So with the words that come out of my mouth, not come back empty-handed." You know what it is to be empty-handed, right? Young people, you know what it is to be empty-handed? It says, "The word that come out of my mouth will not come back empty-handed." So when God sends a word, the word goes back to God to report, to say, "Look, this is what I have done. I have accomplished whatever it is you've asked me to do." It says the word will not return. They will not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I sent them to do. They will complete the assignment I gave them. You know, there are times when you send somebody to do something for you, and then they report back to you and say, "I'm sorry, I could not achieve what you asked me to do." Has that ever happened to anybody? You send somebody somewhere. Maybe you send them on an errand. Maybe you send them to a different country. Maybe you instructed a professional. You got your accountant and say, "Look, my tax affairs are in disorder. I need you to sort this out for me." You pay them a consultation fee. You pay them a deposit. They go out and then they come back and say, "I'm sorry, this is too bad. We can't do anything for you." You go to the hospital. You go to the best physicians, the best doctors, the best surgeons. They open up somebody's womb, somebody's abdomen. Thank you for the doctors in the house. And then they discover that the cancer has spread everywhere, and they cover the person back. And when the person comes out of anesthesia, they tell him, "Sorry, we couldn't help because it has spread everywhere." That's coming back empty-handed. And the Bible is telling us here that when God sends his word, it does the work that he asks the world to do. And then it completes the assignment. The word does not return empty-handed. It cannot return empty-handed. Why? The power in the word. So we've looked at the purpose of the word. Now we'll look at the power of the word. When God sends his word, he says, as the rain comes down from heaven, as snow comes down from heaven, it does not return, but it waters the earth. Have you ever seen rain that is dry? Have you ever seen rain that falls somewhere and the place is not wet? Because within the rain is wetness. It's the ability to make the ground wet. In the same way, when God sends the word, within the word, somebody say within the word. In case somebody beside you is sleeping, just tap your neighbor and say to them, neighbor. No, do it like you mean it. You know, tap them, neighbor. Tap them again, neighbor. Because I'm here, I can see what you can't see. So somebody nodding beside you, you may not know, but I can know because I can see because I'm in front. So nod your, tap your neighbor or nod them, you know. Give them an elbow and say to them, neighbor, are you awake? Right, so the word has the ability to carry out what God has in mind. That's the power of the word. So we see from Isaiah 55, 11 from the Message translation. So the words that come out of my mouth will not come back empty handed. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 1 to 3, Genesis 1, 1 to 3, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. If you look at the Message translation of Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, God spoke light. And light appeared. Because when God speaks, when God sends his word, when the word comes out, as the word comes out of God's mouth, it does not return empty-handed. It has the ability within it, locked within the word, is the ability to accomplish God's purpose, to fulfill the assignment that word, for which that word was sent out. God says, light, and light appears. In John chapter 6, verse 63, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, he says, it is the Spirit that quickens. That means that gives life. He says, the flesh does not profit anything. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And in Luke chapter 1, 35, Luke, our main text that we read earlier, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. That's because within the word is the ability to accomplish God's purpose. You need to understand that. That every time God gives you a word, within that word is the ability to accomplish itself. So when God said at the beginning of the year that the word for this year is Jeremiah 32, that, you know, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Within that word is the ability to fulfill God's purpose, to achieve, to complete the assignment God has given unto that word. Amen. Now look at the presence of the word. How is the word transmitted? How does the word come to us? In the case of Mary, who gave her the word? The angel brought the word to her. And today, God speaks to us as we study his word, as we read the Bible. So in your personal time of Bible reading and Bible study, there are times you're reading a passage of scripture and a word, a phrase, or a sentence, or an entire verse just hits you in the face. There are times, you know, I'm reading a passage and I'm just stuck on a line. I'm stuck on a word and I have to go over it over and over and over because there's something God wants me to pick from there. That's a word from God. Somebody say a word from God. You can receive a word as the message is preached. As I'm speaking today, God can give you a word. God can send a fellow believer to give you a word. Every time God gives you a word, you have to understand that locked within that word is the ability to accomplish God's purpose, to fulfill the assignment that is behind that word. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, very quickly, I have an eye on the time. Don't worry, the food is not going to get cold. There are certain pitfalls that we need to watch out for. The first thing is when God gives you a word, for it to become a reality in your life, you need to understand it. If you don't understand it, it's not going to work for you. You need to understand it. Tell your neighbor, 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 neighbor. You need to understand this. That when God gives you a word, you, if you don't understand it, it's not going to work for you. So that's the first thing. So when you receive a word, in order to understand it, you need to meditate on it. You see, from the passage we read, we're told in Luke chapter 1 verse 29, and when Mary, when she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She pondered. She pondered. She was wondering. She was thinking. That's meditation. What is this? God gave you a word at the beginning of the year. The first thing you do is you take it and you ponder. God, what is this? You think, you meditate on it. You try to understand it. Secondly, you need to ask questions if it's not clear. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, what is angel in Spanish? Angali. So Mary said to the angel, Angali, how can this be since I do not know him? She asked questions. She wasn't sanctimonious. There's some of us, we're too spiritual for our own good. And because of that, we miss what God has for us. Because if you don't understand what God, the word God has given to you, you won't understand it. So don't be spiritual. Ask questions. Go back to God and say, Lord, what are you saying? How can this be? She asked questions because she wanted to understand what God was saying. Amen. You don't believe me? I'm going to read very, very quickly from Jesus' interpretation of the parable of the sower. I'm just going to rush through it. Matthew chapter 13, 18 to 23. From the NIV. Matthew 18, 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, do you see the word understand? The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is Jesus speaking. This is the Lord himself speaking. This is the seed sown along the path. Verse 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. 23. And this is the key verse. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and does what? And does what? Who hears the word and understands it? He produces a crop, some yielding 100, 60, 30, what was sown. If you don't understand the word, it will not work for you. You need to understand the word. So when you receive, when a word comes, you need to meditate on it. You need to ask questions so that you will understand it. And then secondly, you need to receive it. You need to receive it. You need to accept it in faith. You need to personalize it. You need to, you know, make it yours. Put your name on it. Mary said in Luke 1:38, Mary, she said, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." You have to receive the word. So it's not enough to come on during the crossover service or the first Sunday of the year or every Sunday to repeat, you know, the word. No. You need to take ownership of it. First of all, when you receive a word, you seek to understand it. Lord, what is the purpose of this word? What is the mission of this word in my life? How does it apply to me? You need to break it down, meditate on it, ask God questions. Don't be spiritual, don't be sanctimonious. Ask God questions, because if you don't understand it, it will not work for you. Then you receive it. You personalize, you put your name on it. I know a lot of us have electronic Bibles. It's good to have paper Bible. You can, you know, when it says you write your name against it. You personalize it. You make it yours. And then it will work for you. The word that God gave at the beginning of the year is worked for a lot of people. Is it working for you? If it hasn't worked for you, you need to go back to God. Ask some questions. Receive the word. And run with it, and it will become a reality. Because contained within that word is the ability for it to accomplish God's purpose. Can I have an amen? Amen. We're going to pray in a minute. You know, Jesus said, and I've said this in the past, that when he returns, there will be two people in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. You know, the other day I was having a conversation with my wife, and we're saying, you know, two people go to war. The two of them have the same military gadgets, the same level of protection. They're going on a patrol, the two of them side by side. One steps on a mine and is instantly blown apart. The other, nothing happens to him. The same word comes. Within that word is the ability for it to fulfill God's purpose, God's plan, to complete God's assignment. It works for one person, it doesn't work for another. Why? If you don't understand the word, it will not work for you. It won't. The enemy will steal it. The cares of this life, the challenges of daily living will take the word away. But if you understand the word, if you receive it, if you personalize it, if you make it yours, if you trouble heaven about it, the Bible talks about those who would not rest day or night. People who would trouble God, it will become a reality in your life. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same word that God sent through the angel Gabriel to Mary. That same word is the same word that we have. It has the ability to fulfill God's purpose. The angel said to Mary, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." There's nothing too hard, too difficult for God. So as we celebrate Christmas, Jesus is the reason for this season. And Jesus came. Before him, there was never a virgin birth. Since after him, there's never been any. His presence here should show to us that we are in a supernatural relationship. Let's not water down things. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. There's nothing too hard. The problem that God cannot solve, it has not yet been manufactured. There's nothing too hard for him. Nothing. What is that challenge? What is that difficulty? What is it? I want you to present it to God today as we pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never given your heart to Jesus, or perhaps you're part of our online community, you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, and you celebrate Christmas, but you don't know Jesus, the reason for this season, I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart. We're told that, you know, when Joseph and Mary got to the inn, there was no room for them. Is there room in your heart for Jesus? If you're here today, you're listening online, and you want to make that step, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, but you want to celebrate Christmas in a special way this year by inviting Jesus into your heart, why don't you just say after me? Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I am a sinner and I cannot help myself. I believe you died for me and that you were raised for my justification. I invite you into my life to save me. Come into my heart. Transform me. Make me a new creation. Make me your child. Save me. Help me to understand the true meaning of Christmas. Write my name in your book of life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer, I want to congratulate you. And if you're watching online and you've prayed that prayer, I will invite you to connect with us via our website, which is nccwellington.org, and we'll find how to support you in this new work of faith. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I thank you for your faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that your word will be a reality in every life, Lord, represented here today in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Father. We praise you. We magnify you. As we celebrate this season, help us to be mindful of the fact that it is Jesus who is the reason for this season. Thank you, Father, because your word will never return to you empty-handed. And so I pray every word you've ever spoken into our lives, into our destinies, help us to go back and resurrect them. Help us to go back and search and ponder and seek to understand, and even ask questions when necessary. Father, that we would truly understand your word, that your word would be a reality. It will accomplish its purpose in our lives and fulfill your mission and accomplish your assignment in our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for lunch. We pray that we want to thank you for everyone who has contributed and everyone who has brought something to share. We pray, Lord, we'll have a fantastic time of fellowship. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.